Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today's going to be a little bit different show. We are going to talk about the respect problems that we have in society. You know, we have the Me Too movement. We have men being accused of all sorts of things, women being accused of all sorts of things. And my next guest, Chip Bunce, some of you may know of him from the hydrogen water and Kagan water, but I wanted to have him come on because he wrote a couple books called The Bogus Men, and he's working on a screenplay, or he actually wrote a screenplay called Bogus Men Academy, and they're currently in production for the movie. And the whole point of it is that men need to respect themselves more, respect others, and be a quality character for family, and women need to hold men up to that standard. I think women need to do the same thing. But we talk about these issues that's going on right now. Have these issues been fabricated? Are we purposely being divided? What's going on in this arena? So we dive into all those issues. Again, very different than what I do a lot of times, but I think it's a very important issue that's going on in society, and we got to deal with it. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that you can go to the Grow Network and you can learn about how to make your own medicines for 12 common ailments. They give you free information on that. The Grow Network is dedicated to getting people off of big agriculture and big pharma. I think you'd appreciate. The link is below. So let's get into that interview now with Chip Bunce. Hey, Chip, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we know each other because you've been working with me on the Kagan water, but what I thought was so interesting is that you have been working, you've written two books, and you've been working on producing a movie called Bogus Men Academy. And yes. I want to talk about this because it's a timely subject in this country. We are very divided in many ways, and this being one of them. And you're taking a fairly everything is controversial these days. So why I say controversial approach is not hard to do, but you're taking approach that I actually, you know, believe in. And can you talk a little bit, first of all, what in a couple sentences, what your approach is, what the point of this is, and why you got into it?
Well, I like humor, and I always liked humor books, humor movies, comedies. So both my books I've written and my screenplay are all humor comedies. But secondly is, because of my military background and growing up in a pretty strict home life, you have no choice but to follow rules and regulations. And so when you go out into society and you see a lot of things that are just changing decade by decade for the worse, usually you want to say, is this going to come back and go back to traditional values? And I didn't see anybody really write about that. I wanted to see somebody come forward and say, what is it about our society that's allowing certain levels of behavior to kind of slip down? And my main thought is just to help women, because I thought so many women end up maybe with bad relations, and some men too. We have to be fair on both sides. But I think so many women have more to lose if they have children. They want to have a good home life, and doesn't it make sense that a quality woman deserves a quality man? And so I'm thinking is, how do we define quality? And that's what I really write about, is what are the standards for women to select quality in their hopefully future husbands.
And you have a military background. You graduated from the Citadel, which is really impressive. You have an MBA, you have a finance degree, and you grew up in a strict environment, as you say, and you lived in 20 different countries. Very impressive background. You were in the military, commanded a naval unit in the Panama Canal that later turned into a SEAL team. So you have a really impressive resume. Now, that being said, what about your background made you think, well, hey, there's something here that we need men. I don't think it's just men, but we're going to focus on this first. What I think it's a society-wide problem, but it's something that you were trying to tackle. What is it about men that has been really eating at you that you wanted to deal with and address in this movie and your books.
Well, I don't know how most people see it, but when I go to a shopping area or just going out and about through the course of the day or the week, I see a lot of behaviors that I would question are being the right kind of example that we as men need to be having. So one of the things I've noticed in the last, say, 15 or 20 years, a lot of, not a lot, but maybe more than a nominal amount of men have their underpants sticking out. They have their pants down so low, I'm surprised they can even walk. They're almost like tripping over. So what is so special about a man walking anywhere and having his underpants down so low and his pants down so low? That's very, very foul and offensive in my opinion. When I see a large group of men have their backwards baseball cap on, what is it about a baseball cap, and especially backwards? What do you have, or on the side, like a hip hop? What are we trying to establish here as men? Of course, earrings. A lot of men back maybe in the 1930s and 40s and 50s probably didn't have earrings on. And then somewhere maybe in the 1960s or 70s, it started becoming popular. Now it's kind of rare to see a grown man without an earring in his ear. So I've just noticed that there's a trend in behaviors with men in style and dressing. And it's not just the way they look. It's more of an attitude of either sloppiness or conversely, over-aggressiveness. I see this a lot on the freeways. Anybody who's been on a road and they notice some big truck that's 30 feet off the ground and they ride on your bumper, I mean, what are they hauling pigs back there? What are they doing? Why do you have a vehicle that's so big? And why are they so many such aggressive behavior? And it's my personal contention that if a person dresses sloppily, they don't care about their own personal a demeanor, a lack of courtesy, a lack of manners, a lack of humility, and certainly an aggressive attitude toward other fellow Americans. When we've got the whole world would love to come to the United States and live in our country, and yet we treat each other with contempt in many of these cases. And so I just question, why are we as men behaving this way? And when women see this, is it any wonder why they don't trust us? Is it any wonder why women say, "Look at you men, you're out of control"? And I think it's the quality men that kind of suffer as well, because they're saying, "As I agree with you, let's see if we can fix this problem."
Well, so it's not really that they have an earring, because that's not really it. Or they have their pants hanging, well, the pants hanging down. I don't know if I'd be happy with my son having his pants hanging down. But it's not really that. It's just the fact that it represents the men aren't being respectful in general. Now, do you think it's a respect problem towards themselves and to society? Or where do you think this is, where's the source of all this?
I think it goes like this. I think it's a lack of self-esteem. Number one, if you really cared about yourself, you would have the proper discipline, the inner discipline, to just do the right thing. I think most people know to do the right thing. Secondly, is I think women, at least speaking for American women, have let the standards go down so low that they'll almost not just tolerate, but they'll almost encourage a man to have sloppy attitude or sloppy behavior or this aggressiveness. I've talked to maybe 1,000 women when I wrote my first two books called Totally Bogus Men. And they said, well, they think it's their job as a woman to fix men. And I said, well, if I had a chance to go on a date with a woman and there's a lot of personal problems, unless I really choose to take on those problems, I'm going to find one that maybe better suited matches what I'm looking for myself. I'm not saying people can't try to help another person, but at the same time, if a woman says this guy doesn't take a shower, he's sloppy, he's lazy, he doesn't care, maybe no sense of work ethic, maybe no sense of anything, is this the kind of person you want to be, have a family with, have children with? And is this the person you think would be the great standard? If men are this bad now and women continue to allow these standards to go low like they are, then it's kind of frightening to see what's going to happen in the next 10 or 20 years.
Well, women, so it was a pattern that women thought that they should fix them. See, now I would rather have my daughter get with a guy, a man who is straight and narrow from the beginning. Straight and narrow. Everybody's going to have issues. You don't need to take on all those issues.
Sure.
And, and the same point, teaching my daughter not to be an issue machine for somebody else either, to have her own standards and to be of, respect herself and others. Now, do you think that men are unjustly targeted now, or do you think that is more the media men whining, or is there some truth to it? Not.
Well, it depends on what the target is. If it's sexual harassment, then I think it's almost overdue for a lot of men to be held accountable for their aggressive behavior. I'm not saying there's not some good men out there, but at the same time, I would say that a woman can go to church and think that the guy's going to be a quality guy, but in reality, he may be out there hitting on other women or cheating on the woman or something like that. So there's really no magical place a woman can go to find this Mr. Right. But at the same time, there's so much stuff in the news lately about men behaving badly, okay, in Hollywood or certain politicians. We won't even have to talk about the deviancy of what you cover and what you study in a lot of your programs. That's even far extreme. But the very fact that a man just can't be happy with himself and have a sense of work ethic and a certain sense of pride and ambition to be the best he can be, so that collectively, if a woman and a man got together and they decided to maybe get married and have children, wouldn't it be a great thing to show stability for the children, to have the
They
children
need
look
it.
up and say, look, my mom and my dad not only get along and are compatible together, let's talk about conversation. A man should be educated to the point where he can at least enter in a general conversation with his girlfriend or his hopefully wife someday, and vice versa, and have them engage in conversation that make them get along together. That doesn't mean that the woman can't have her career and have her ambitions and have her own success, but the man should be interested in helping her career and success at the same time, give her space and independence. Men have to just basically say, look, you don't control women and women don't control men, but men have an obligation to set an example, I believe, as the role models as far as men go, and the father of children and a husband. And that conversely, women should have an example too. Now, am I saying there's no women out there? There's women out there that are not questionable, and they're maybe a little bit the way they certain their behaviors questionable. That's fine. But I'd rather focus on how we as men can do a better job. You don't have to really be in the military to get discipline. I think most little boys growing up look for discipline. They look for some structure. And if they go come from a broken home or a bad inner city neighborhood, they might end up going toward a gang, for example, because they said, well, you know what? I'm not getting any structure in my single parent home upbringing. My mother doesn't understand, my needs as a young boy growing up. So maybe they'll gravitate toward an all male environment like a gang or things like that. I'm not saying that happens in every case, but boys like to have structure and discipline, I think, in my experience. And we like to see some kind of mission, like in the military, like when you play cowboys and Indians, there's a mission, there's an accomplishment. Like G.I. Joe, it's like there's a mission, okay? You're trying to have a mission. And I think that's what boys like to grow up thinking. I think if a man doesn't have that discipline, especially with the right kind of leadership from a father to give him the right kind of guidance, then I think they overly compensate by saying, okay, I've kind of gotten away with a lot of stuff my whole life. Now I'm just going to be this tough guy, this big bully on the road and try to run people off the road or be very aggressive. I think that the whole idea of it is men know deep inside we have a long ways to go to get better. Do we deserve some of the criticism? Absolutely. Are there women who do bad things? Yes. But I think speaking as men, sh should there be standards? And I firmly believe that if a woman can raise the standards in what she's looking for, when the right guy does come around, then she'll spot him right away.
Well, what do you think about pornography? We have an epidemic in the society where I've heard that the majority of men are addicted to pornography. How does that affect our society and our norms and respect of each other?
That's a great question. I think the thing is, a lot of men are very visual, and because they're visual, there's always this idea that you can get away with something, kind of like being a voyeur, looking at something that you maybe want to peek or something and see something that might be more entertaining for that one split second. I think the problem of it is that if you continue to do the pornography route, pretty soon there any woman that you want to invest time with in a relationship and maybe a marriage, hopefully a marriage, goes away because that's not as exciting anymore. It's not as fun. What's more exciting and more fun is to see a picture of a woman who you don't know who she is. You're seeing a photograph of her or whatever, and that puts your mind away from who maybe you could have a relationship with. In other words, it's kind of hard to be loyal to a woman to get married and then have a family with when your mind is off on all sorts of other things.
Well, what do you think with the girls? You know, I can't tell you how many times I've told my daughter to change what she's wearing because it's too revealing. The girls are dressing a certain way and are made into sex symbols everywhere. Now, how is that affecting, I know more how it affects women, but how is that affecting men and young boys? Is that confusing for them?
I think most men will probably smile and say, wow, this is great. But in reality, what it does is it takes away the conversation value between a man and a woman. In other words, if it's all pretty much physical and visual, there's really no depth in any sort of appreciation. The woman is saying, look at me, I'm getting attention. She may very well be looking to look a certain way to compete against other women. In other words, in the course of a day, she says, well, I'm going to wear this outfit and get more attention than I did before last week because I want to be in competition with against other women. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it's true. I don't think men, speaking for the male side, that we try to compete against other men on who, what guy looks better or what guy's more handsome. Most men go about their day just dressed the way they dress or look the way they dress. I think it is true. I think women do have a somewhat revealing attire in many cases. How that affects men, you have to be able to kind of overlook that flash beauty, so to speak, you know, and make it more exciting.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, women need to watch what they're doing. Now, what do you think about the illusion that, or not the illusion, it's real, the media and our current political environment where the sexes are completely divided? I mean, what is the deal with that? My personal opinion is we have way bigger problems than in this country and elsewhere to be so divided. I mean, I have a son, I have a husband, I have a dad. You know, I love them as much as I do my daughter and my mom and my sisters and everything else. So why are we so divided and why can't we just respect each other? Is this being done on purpose?
I think you're asking a great question. I think social engineering is the main problem when it comes to relationships. I think it's hard enough for a man and a woman to meet and be responsible and go about their course of their day and then come right around and then you see all these social engineering in all, we won't have to go in any particular detail, but I think most of your guests probably understand there's a tremendous change in attitude between what a male should be look like or act like or behave like. It's the same with a woman. And if you start to really mess up, especially children early on, like tell the boy he's going to have this kind of a thoughts and this kind of a beliefs. It confuses his sexuality, confuses his gender identity. It confuses a lot of things. What you're really doing is you're throwing in a couple question marks up there that says, hey, who am I as a man or who am I as a woman? I think just growing up in the traditional way of family, going to school, doing your homework, playing some sports, but doing important things like that and getting on with your career are far more important for a person's fundamental growth than to actually be sidetracked toward, am I a male today? Am I going to be a female tomorrow? Am I going to think of this thought or that thought? These are evil thoughts by social engineers. I'm not sure where they come from, but they go into our educational system. They go into our media. They go into our television. They go into our Hollywood movies. And I think what happens is it can brainwash people, in my view.
Well, we've completely lost focus. I mean, we have so many issues and we're messing around with things that just aren't, it's like, come on, people. I mean, we have way bigger issues to deal with. So now, do you think women in a lot of ways are held to too high of a standard? I mean, they're expected to be good mothers. They're expected now to have a good education. They're expected now to be able to take care of the family and do all of that all at once. So how can anybody do all that?
I think you're asking a great question. I think women have been told, look, it's not enough that you just go to work and do it. Let maybe have your husband and that's it, little family, your children. You got to have a career. You got to be a lawyer. You got to be a doctor. You got to be a CPA. You have to be some business executive. You have to be a model, like a Victoria's Secret model. I mean, there's so many expectations. And I think the worst part is women, not in all cases, but many women expect that of other women. I've heard many times, I'll see a woman comment, a woman walks into a store or restaurant, and they'll right away criticize her, like, oh, look at her shoes. They don't match her purse, or her purse doesn't match her jacket, or I don't like her hair. I don't like her nails. I mean, incredible, incredible, over and over and over again. So it's almost like I'm seeing women judging other women, okay, for not keeping up to certain standards. Now, where do those standards come from? I don't know. Hollywood, movies, media. Now, when a guy walks into a bar or a restaurant or whatever, most men say, okay, there's another guy, kind of leave it alone. I mean, in my experience, most men don't say, oh, I don't like his shoes, or I don't like the fact that his belt doesn't match his coat or something. Who cares? Most men say it's another guy, so what? Yes, I think women are held to such incredible standards that they're going to probably experience what's called burnout, where you're out there doing all these things, taking care of children, having a career. And if the man's a lazy guy, he's a no real work ethic, doesn't care, or just for some reason is irresponsible, goes into drugs, crime, irresponsibility, stupidity, it's going to put the burden back on the woman, saying, oh my God, I've got these kids to take care of. I got to deal with that. I got to pay the bills. I got to get gas in the car. I got to pay insurance. Got to get groceries. I got to cook the dinner. How am I going to do it? And I think women are going to get burned out pretty soon. Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why it's a partnership, and that's why it's ridiculous. That I am so thankful that I have a man in my life who loves his family, works hard. His number one priority is making sure his kids and his family's doing well. Now, that being said, I got to tell you, I experienced some of that too. I'll come on the show and I look like crap, you know, whatever. And somebody will make some comment and I try to look good, but whatever. And one time I got up, I was with Cliff High, and I got up and I did just put on a sweatshirt and put my hair in a ponytail, but it was, you know, I tried to look okay. I was busy. I was teaching over 300 students. I was doing all these things. And somebody commented that I was disrespectful to my guests because of the way I looked. And then I'm like, it's Cliff High. He doesn't care. You know, she goes, it looks like all you did is get up, put your hair in a ponytail. And and I'm like, I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, I kind of did just get up and put my hair in a ponytail. And I was telling Cliff about it. We were laughing. But the same point, it's now at least I got listeners that make comments. You are completely missing the point, you know, because some of my stuff is really, really hard stuff. And it's the way I look, okay, let's make a disclaimer. I look like crap in a lot of my videos. Who cares? It's the content. But right. The thing is the guy I'm interviewing, did you not notice that the guy I'm interviewing is half bald, overweight, and didn't match? All right, whatever. I'm just making that up. But, you know, so I do experience that as too. And we just have to get past that.
No, I was going to say you could make it in the military very well because you're focused on the mission. Your mission right now is to uncover a whole range of interesting topics from like, let's talk about church real quick. People said, oh, you go to church, people are going to be really, really nice. You can have some nice people in church, but you could have some real jerks in church. So does a church or does a religion physically change a person's demeanor and attitude? Sometimes yes, many times no. I think people know right from wrong. They know how not to be judgmental and not be so critical of a person's appearance. But you're on the front line, Sarah. You're out there doing tough work. Maybe you're up till 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe later than that. Maybe you couldn't sleep. Maybe they had some things you've done that are so earth-shattering that it would take about a week to unwind from that stuff. And so I would challenge anybody, do half the stuff that Sarah does and see how you look after about 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah. There's times where I'm like, okay, I got to take a break. And then whatever. I've gotten to the point, though, where I'll look at myself in a video. I'm like, I don't even care. It doesn't matter. Was the content presented properly? And is it professional so that people take it seriously? But let's talk about a couple more things here. What do you Sure. think is the most important thing here? Because there's so many distractions. I think, you know, there are problems. Like my daughter was bringing up the Me Too movement, and she said to me, Mom, and it's the first time she said something like this. She was very serious. Mom, I want to go march for that Me Too movement. First thing, of course, I asked is, why have you been raped? You know, I and she, no, she wasn't. But she says, you know, rape is such a big problem right now. She goes, Mom, I know so many people who've been raped, and both girls and boys, probably a lot more girls than boys, but some boys have been too. And that we talk about it and we say things and then it's just dropped. Nobody does anything about it. So these kids are in this environment where they all, because the social media is so intense, there's people being, kids being raped on a regular basis that people know about, and nothing is ever done.
I think it goes back to how a person is brought up. I don't think anybody starts out by being a child predator or a sexual deviant or a serial killer the first day. I think that takes...
Well, these are kids on kids. This isn't like, okay, you know, an adult raping a young... These are, you know, high school kids, and the girl's drunk and passed out, and so she gets raped. Or that happened to a boy, okay, too, you know?
But I would still say, even in the cases like children and children or teenagers and teenagers, when a boy, a baby's in a crib who's 6 months old, is that little baby really thinking about doing deviant things? I don't think so. I think the as the child grows up, age one, age two, age three, age four, and again, I'm not a psychologist. I've never taken any psychology child development courses, but I think children want, they want to know what the rules of the game are. What's the structure? What do we get away with? What do we don't get away with? I mean, ask a little kid where the cookie jar is, and most kids will tell you it's up there. That's where the cookie jar is. Or don't eat that candy before dinner because, you know, you're going to, how do kids, how does anybody teach, does a parent teach a child how to get away with stuff? But children by default learn quickly what they can get away with, what they cannot get away with. If a child knows he can get away with a cookie before dinner, maybe the next thing he's going to do is he's going to maybe drink a beer or smoke a cigarette or maybe do drugs or maybe do something bad, you know, with another person sexually. And we're not talking about violent, but we're just talking about things they shouldn't be doing. And the next thing you know, they're already 12, 14 years old, 16 years old. And they said, you know, I got away with it so far. I fooled my parents so far. They don't know what's going on with my life. They don't really care about my life. So I'm just going to continue to keep doing it and see how far I can get away with. I think as long as a parent can say, you know what, I really care about my child to the point where I want them to see that having standards, having growing up with standards, even small things like making it to the dinner table on time, doing your homework, you know, going to bed, doing chores around the house, doing things that were traditional values for me and maybe for you growing up. Pretty soon you start growing up, you start saying, you know what? Everywhere you go in life, there are rules of how to conduct yourself, driving a car, going to work somewhere, going in the military, whatever. There are rules in life. And if you choose to violate those rules in life, you're probably going to get in trouble. And I think the problem is children at a young age need to know that there are things you can do and there's things you cannot do. And that takes a very good parent. Can one parent do it? I suppose it's possible, but you really need two parents there. So I always say, have the woman pick a quality man and the man pick a quality woman. The two of them get married. They have children. They have standards that they're not going to really deviate from. Now it have to be a tough situation where I'm not talking about doing abuse of children, nothing like that, but giving a good, positive home life. So when the kid grows up, they don't think about doing drugs. They don't think about smoking a cigarette. They don't think about being in a gang because that stuff doesn't, it's not what they're used to. They're used to structure. I look at when I was in the military, I was a recruiter, and it was a pleasure to bring in people from the Asian community. Why? Because they would come to their appointments on time. They have all their source documents, their birth certificate or their passport, driver's license, Social Security card. In other words, extremely organized, had questions lined out, good haircut, proper courtesy, proper demeanor. Everything was almost perfectly proper. What is it about some parts of our society that seem to almost go almost too good, too extreme? And other parts of society says, oh, well, just be as lazy and as ignorant as possible. People in society expect quality of work. And if we show quality in our upbringing, we'll probably have quality in our social life and our workplace. If you agree with that.
I do. I think structure is important, especially when you're young. I think maybe when these kids are reporting that there's a rape that's going on, that us adults that know about it need to do something, especially school administrators and things. We need to clean it up. We need to create that structure for the kids. They, at this age, they need it. When they're young, they're growing up. There's a reason why they're children and they're minors and they don't have rights, because you are supposed to be able to help them. But in closing this up, you are currently producing this film, Bogusman Academy. Where can people learn more about you, your books? You're also casting right now and doing things. Can you explain, give us a spiel on what you're doing and where they can get hold of you?
Okay, well, Barnes & Noble, and of course it's on Amazon, but Totally Bogus Men is some books I've written. The first one came out in 1996. Second one came out in 2008. So, but I thought I'd do a sequel. But you can look those books up. Those who choose to buy the book, be my guest, help yourself. I'm not asking anyone to buy my book, but if you want to buy it or thumb through it at a bookstore. Also, I'm writing I wrote a screenplay called Bogus Men Academy, which is a comedy. My main thought is to bring in women of all backgrounds who can be cast, or they have a transformation from being a bogus side to a quality side. The whole movie is about a transformation from bogus to a quality person at the end of the movie. And we did our first casting call in Texas. We expect to film in Charleston, South Carolina. We'll probably have a big announcement on the internet with a website, Bogus Men Academy website. Right now it's not up, but we're expecting the funding in by next week. And when we get the funding, we'll have a casting call, probably close to 200, about 200 cast members needed for our movie.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so people should look for that. Do you know what the website will be, or should they just look for Bogus Men Academy?
I just look for Bogus Men Academy for now. We'll have a professional website when we're ready to make it official, but I do believe it's going to be a great movie. It's going to be a comedy, but it's going to be more like an adventure comedy where I want to give away the whole plot, but basically women are they're like James Bond, and they're doing all these James Bond type things to fix the society that we live in. And it's called the Bogus Men Academy because they become instructors as part of that academy. And that's what it's about. But it should be a funny movie. In no way does it try to belittle men, because I'm a man. And so, but the idea of it is to actually congratulate quality men. And by the way, any of your viewers out there, if you're a quality guy and you know you've been kind of like neglected, or you've been not, appreciated as much, I know that Sarah and I appreciate you, because we know it takes a lot of work to be a good person. They always say the phrase "nice guys finish last," and unfortunately, that's true in many cases. But ultimately, if you're a good person, you're a gentleman, you act with proper decorum, I think those in society who can recognize that know you're doing a great job. So well done, and well done to the women who are facing tough choices out there and doing a great job for themselves.
Excellent. Thank you. And we'll leave it with that. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate your time.